You're listening to A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. Artificial limbs that can feel, Dennis, apples that don't brown, 3D printed organs. Biotechnology seems to be advancing into the realm of science fiction. And next month at an international consortium, we'll meet downtown to discuss the ethics of biotechnology at the first ever Beings Conference.
And Dr. Paul Root-Wolpe is the founder of the summit. He's NASA's chief bioethicist, and he is a professor of bioethics at Emory. Dr. Wolpe, thanks for joining us. Good to have you.
My pleasure.
Okay, so the idea of ethics and biotechnology is partly based on the notion that our ethics need to keep up with our science. Do we have any idea at this point whether they are, or is the notion that we've heard so often that our ethics aren't keeping up with the science a true one?
No, I think that scientists that I've met and talked to, and I've met them in a variety of different fields, are very concerned about the ethical issues in the science that they pursue. They're concerned about safety, things like environmental toxins. They're concerned about pathogens. And they're very concerned about even the deeper issues of where science should go.
Because there are commercial pressures here, let's be honest. I mean, each one of these advances, and they seem to get more and more amazing, carries with it the potential to make big dollars, get into production quickly, without perhaps looking at the unintended consequences. How do we make sure that we do that in the process?
Right. Well, there are two compelling arguments, and one is actually a production business argument. There are many, many examples of technologies that have stepped over the ethical lines, and consumers tend to react badly to them. So one is a self-interest, but the other is also the understanding that these are incredibly powerful technologies, and I think there's an appreciation that they have to be used very carefully.
And Doctor, we're also talking about ethical discussions when it comes to biotech medicine as
right.
well. And I remember reading about this some years, and I actually went on the internet, and it took me some time, but I found the article. These were the top five topics that were concerns. This was in 2004 about biotech medicine: protecting human subjects in clinical trials, mm-hmm. affordability, privacy, stem cell research, and defending the U.S. against bioterrorism.
Right.
Those still the top five, are they still dominating? Because it was scary then to read, and still a little scary now.
Right. If anything, they've become more important as biotechnology has become more sophisticated. This particular conference called the Beings Conference, which stands for Biotechnology and the Ethical Imagination, a Global Summit, brings together the top 30 biotechnology-producing countries of the world. And we're focusing on stem cell research, synthetic biology, sort of basic science more than clinical medicine, to say as we create new forms of life, as we engineer cells, what should be both our aspirations and our limits? How should we think about what we should do, and how should we think about limiting what we shouldn't do?
And then how do you draw the balance so that everyone is on board? Because different countries could be based on whether it's cultural or religion. They may have different viewpoints about what's important to them. So how do you all decide what is going to be talked about?
Well, that's exactly what this conference is for, is to take these diversity of opinions and diversity of standards and to say underlying them are there some common principles, policy standards, regulations, ethical ideas that we can agree on.
Well, how do you do that? I mean, that's Rose, I think, is asking the question where I was going. Whose ethics
right.
govern these discussions, and how do you decide that? So what are you going to thrash out at this right. conference?
So we have a complicated one-year process. This is just the launching of that. We've got an incredible international faculty to ask provocative questions, and then these hundreds of delegates from these countries will begin to work together in working groups on particular issues to try to hash out some common beliefs. It is entirely possible there'll be some areas where we simply can't agree, but at least we have to have the conversation.
Is there a starting point, though? I mean, let's take medicine for an example. The guiding principle for physicians is do no harm. Is that a starting point?
Well, everyone agrees on certain basic principles. They understand that they shouldn't be releasing environmental toxins. They understand that they can't create forms of life, new bacteria that will infect human beings. There are some really great, strong, fundamental principles that can be the launching pad for us to begin to talk about some of the thornier, more controversial ones.
When you talked about creating the guidelines and sort of the blueprint for all the nations and all of the experts to come in, and let's say you all have come to some sort of agreement, but let's talk about enforcing and being able to go back to your country from where you're doing research. Where do you begin to talk about how you enforce all of these, whatever you come up with, because you haven't come up with it yet?
Well, here's the hope. We have no enforcement authority with this conference. What we want to do is say, we brought together people from different cultures, from different parts of the world, and we have scientists and philosophers and ethicists, people from the arts and humanities. We have Margaret Atwood, the novelist, will be speaking, things like that. And we want to say, all of us together came up with this set of principles. No, it has no enforcement authority, but use it as a guideline when you think through your own regulations in your particular country.
What about when ethics clash, let's say? Let's pick an end-of-life issue where technology has really gotten us very far indeed and people are able to stay alive longer. There's the ethical principle of we want to preserve life. There's also the ethical principle of we don't want to prolong suffering. And another ethical principle in many traditions is suicide is a bad thing. So how do you balance competing ethics? That would be tough.
You've asked the great ethics question, because most people think ethics is about what's right versus what's wrong, and it's not.
Right. And here
it's
you've
about
got three or four rights conflicting with each
other. Exactly. You've got different rights that have different compelling reasons, and how do you balance them? And that's what we do as ethicists. We try to come up with ways to think through in a sophisticated way that balance and try to come to some consensus on how we should implement it.
So the debating of the ethics of biotechnology is even debated going down the line. Right. Real quickly, and I know this may sound very simplistic, so please forgive me. When I hear all this, I think of science fiction, and I think we were talking earlier in the newsroom. I remember watching The Fly for the first time, and when I was little, I was like, "Oh my God!" But now, when you talk about some of this stuff, it seems like science fiction. And I think there's even a quote from you: "Science fiction is no longer because we're experimenting with all of this."
I was a big science fiction buff in high school, and I tell my students there is no science fiction anymore. Everything we thought about doing, to some degree, we're doing or trying to do. But what was great about science fiction is science fiction books were really morality tales, and they tried in science fiction to say, how should we think about these things? So they actually still serve as great models for thinking through these issues.
So in 20 years, two robots could be sitting here hosting a closer look. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I hope not, because, you know, organic life is still where it's at.
Hey, when a lot of us were kids, we had the Rock'em Sock'em robots already, so we were already well along. One quick final thought. Is there one technological advance that keeps you up at night when it comes to the ethical side of things? And is that something, you know, maybe that is an example of the kind of thing you'll wrestle with at this conference. Is there one that in your head makes you sleepless?
Sure, there are many, but I think the number one, and one we will be talking about, is we're getting more and more sophisticated in our ability to manipulate the very plasms of life, DNA, and the way in which it encodes for living creatures, which means that we are beginning to create novel forms of life. And that is the Wild West. I mean, we really have no idea how these novel forms of life will interact with us and our environments. And so that, I think, is the one place where everybody agrees we have to be extraordinarily cautious.
Doctor, when you talk about biotechnology and, you know, prolonging life, well, let's just real quickly talk about biotechnology and its role in sustaining the current life. And I think of a global issue like poverty. Mm-hmm. Can biotechnology help in that at all?
Well, yes, I think it can. I mean, I don't think we should overstate it. Biotechnology is not going to solve the problem of poverty. But it can give us new tools, which, if used with political will and a sophisticated social view of a particular situation, might give us a new way to address certain issues in poverty.
Dr. Paul Walpe is Emory's professor of bioethics. He is also NASA's chief ethics person, and we really appreciate your being with us. And good luck with this conference. I have a feeling it'll be the first of many.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Professor.